sure is good to see everyone tonight. And when I say everyone, there's a lot of people here. It's good to see everybody. I'm glad you're here, and a lot to be in prayer for. I think that's really where my heart's at tonight is teaching on prayer, not to just abandon what we've been doing on Wednesday nights, but started looking at some things this week and just really had many people in our church on my heart for many different reasons. You know, sometimes you might go a spell or time and it seems like things maybe just kind of just going smooth or what have you. Then there's other times it just seems like everybody has something going on. But I definitely want to take time to focus on prayer tonight, but also just say how good it is to be here. It's so good to see you. Enjoyed that fall morning and summer afternoon. I think that's kind of what it felt like. 45 up into what, 70 going on 80, I guess, something like that. It got warm. I can tell that. But thankful for today, and it's important that we not take things for granted. I guess I was thinking about it today, sometimes being a little bit more sentimental, if that's the right word, than other times maybe. But you're just thinking about things, think about life and family and again, things that's going on, and just really started looking at this last night. If you'd like to turn to Romans 8, chapter number 8, and we'll look at verses 26 and 27. And really, probably preached somewhat along these lines before. I remember a time when dear sister was just getting ready to pass away, and she said, "What do you do, preacher, when you don't know how to pray? You don't know what to pray for. You don't know how to pray." And I remember that question, and I thought a lot about that, because I find myself many times trying to figure out how to pray. I'll just be honest with you. You know, there's things I'd like to see happen, and thankfully, Lord, He'll listen to that. He's made it available where we can approach the throne of grace boldly. But you think about it, how many times when you go to pray, maybe the last month, we'll say that, the last month you've gone to pray, you knew what to pray for. How many times would you say, "I knew exactly what I needed to pray for"? You know what I end up saying a lot of times? "Lord, let your will be done." I say that a lot. But you know, I think our prayer life is supposed to be more than that, because when you have a list of people to pray for, obviously you want the Lord's will to be done. I'm not saying anything against that, but if we get to the place that we are praying, "Lord, just let your will be done," and we walk away from it, then really we're getting into an idea, if we're not careful, saying, "Well, you want to do what you want to do anyway, so what does it matter what I say?" That's not a good attitude to have. The Lord, you know, your will's going to be done regardless what I say, regardless how I pray, regardless what I do and what have you. But that's not the relationship that our prayer life is supposed to be with God. I believe it's supposed to be an intimate relationship where you actually talk and you spend time with Him. And if you really want to know the Lord's will, you have to spend time with Him. We're not supposed to just flow through life and things just kind of happen. And if it happens for our betterment, yay. And if it doesn't, boo. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the life we're supposed to have. God expects us to be take participation in that. And I was looking at a few different verses and things last night, and the Lord really laid these two, going on three, I guess, if you look at verse 28 also, on my heart. But there's three things I want to look at tonight: iniquity, infirmity, and intercession. Just to kind of keep it together. In doing this study, those things lined up pretty well, and I figured I'd just go ahead and use that as the outline for it, because last night, at different times I woke up in the middle of the night, I don't know, probably preached, taught this several times last night, the Lord just kind of laid things in my mind, and then this morning and into today, just thinking about it, and it's important. You're not always ready to pray. I'm not always ready to pray. You can talk and what have you, and you can think a lot, you can rehearse things in your mind, and you can dwell on things and think on things, but prayer is different. Prayer has to be approached in a certain way, and I think you'll see a couple of things here tonight that I just want to mention, and then I'll try to hurry, and we'll have our time of prayer tonight and give them time to have their classes. But Romans 8:26, it says here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Of course, Romans 8:28, probably one of the most questioned, thought about, maybe even controversial verses in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, just thanking you for this day that you've given to us, the time to be together. So thankful for everyone that's here, thankful for those who are listening in online, God, and I'm just thankful you've made that available. But God, there are so many things going on in the hearts of your people in our church, and God, we need your help. So many times I try to pray for different situations, and knowing that I don't know what's best, but God, I want to be a help, I want to be in line with you, I want to be a servant to you, Lord, be used by you to help you, God, the way that you would have me to do so. And looking at these different things, being the pastor here, God, I want to help your people, I want to help our church, God, and that takes being in tune with you, not knowing always what needs to be done or anything like that, God, but I know you do. And God, I tell you, we need our guidance, Lord. God, we need your guidance so much, so much, God. Please help us tonight, help our hearts, be with those, Lord, that are lost in our church. Help them, God, to see that need, and help those tonight also, Lord, that's searching for something from you. Maybe they don't even know exactly what it is, but feel like something is missing and really need to seek your will in their lives, God. But help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Interesting when you look at some of these things here, it talks about the Spirit. I think that has been used a lot, maybe overused, maybe misused in many different ways, and sometimes mistaken for emotionalism. We can see something maybe on a sad movie or a happy movie or in music and things that can lift us up or drop us down, things like that. But that doesn't mean that it's the Spirit. We are an emotional people. Some people maybe more so or less than others, but our emotions can get to us, our tempers can get to us, things like that. But here, when you see being driven or being guided by the Spirit, it's not you, it is somebody else. Prayer time is not let me think to myself what would be the best thing to do and agree with myself this is the best thing and think that that is an answered prayer. That's a one-on-one thought is what that is. That's not prayer. If I really wanted advice from somebody, I would go to that person and I would tell that person what's going on in my life, my point of view of it, and then say, what do you think? Our prayer life is more so like that. That's the way it's supposed to be, at a much higher level. When you're talking about God, you think about who he is. He's the judge. And I'll touch on that more so toward the end. He knows what he intends for us in our lives, but sometimes we don't pay attention. I've been guilty of not paying attention. I thought about it this week and even talked to Brandy some. And, turning 50 is a little bit different. That's, not to pretend like I'm like real old or nothing like Brother Terry is back there. Now, he's old, you know. Got to say that we're close in birthday, so I got to pick on him. But I'm not saying anything like that, but I do feel a change. Because if life expectancy would be 100 years, I told Brandy today that I'm at the midway point. I'm halfway there. And then I get to thinking, well, how many people live to be 100? Bro, you're further on down the line than that when I think about it. And then parts of it, I know where I'm going. I'm securing my salvation. But also I think about what would it be like to have been more versed, more committed at a younger age to potentially have a longer life, Brother Norman, to devote to God and not look back and feel like, man, I wish I'd have got in a little bit sooner. I wish I'd have known this sooner. But here's the thing. Something that I've learned is you don't know what you don't know, and it takes time to learn these things. Experience. You don't get all the experience at one time. You get a little bit at a time. Here's the thing. God knows us. He knows what we can handle. and how much we can handle at a time. But there's nothing limiting us from trying to be as close to Him as we possibly can. I know I say that all the time, and I mean it all the time. I mean that with every fiber of my being. If you want to get closer to knowing what the will of God is, you have to be close to Him. You have to. It's the relationship. You see the symbolism that you have in marriage. You see the symbolism that you have with Christ in the church, and it's for a reason. But there has to be fellowship. When you look at the first, I'll jump in this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One of the first things I want to mention, number one, iniquity. You look at Psalm 66:18. This is important. This is an important verse. I know it's not in these verses here in Romans, but it goes right along, because if you miss this point, the other two points will not come into play. Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know how serious that is? And you know how easy that it is to regard iniquity in our hearts? Spend time justifying maybe hurt feelings. Church hurt's a big thing. I listened to a fellow on YouTube. I really enjoy listening to his preaching. He goes in depth with some of these things. And it helps people to see and understand. But, you know, granted, it's true that we have to have a thick skin. But, you know, there are times that if you're waiting for somebody else to make something right, that can never happen. That's reality. There's, you know, situations, and I know, here's the thing. God sees everything. We see our point of view. And so we might be in the right and we might be in the wrong. We might be waiting on something that we need to do ourselves. I've thought about things like that many times. But the Bible says, if I regard iniquity, you look at the word regard, that means to keep. That means to notice favorably or with acceptance, to love and to esteem. Now, who here loves iniquity? Do you love iniquity? Do you love having controversy in your life? Do you love being confrontational? I know some people would rather just about die than be confrontational. You know, I don't want to be confrontational. I want to be nice. Sometimes it happens, and there's nothing we can do about it. But when you look at that again, to keep, that's things that we hold in our hearts that are not supposed to be there. Does anybody here, you don't raise your hand, but think about it. Does anybody here have something in their heart that's not supposed to be there? I've asked myself that question all day long. Do I have something in my heart that I'm holding on to that should not be there? That's regarding it. That's holding it in. That's keeping it in. It also says to notice favorably. We can hold that iniquity so long that we get comfortable with it, that it becomes favorable. I know I'm right. I know they're wrong. If you're not careful, that's iniquity. And if you don't get that right, then what kind of prayer life are you going to have? Not one. You're going back to just having that conversation with yourself. I'm just going back to driving down the road, talking to myself, because I am not open to what the Lord has to say to me. I'm not listening to Him. When you think about the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not something that we have, it's within us, but it's not us. We're being guided by somebody else if we're listening to the Holy Spirit. And you look at the word iniquity, it means unrighteousness or deviation from rectitude. That means, you know, yes, I'm not perfect, this situation isn't perfect, but I accept it how it is, and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to give it away. Well, the thing about it is, you're going to be very frustrated, because what will happen, the Lord really laid this on my heart, what will happen to you and me when we go to pray, we will feel defeated every time. Because we know, we won't admit it, but we know that it's not getting through. The next question is, why? Why? I think this is probably one of the number one hindrances in our lives. You think about situations in marriage. Marriage isn't always easy. It's not. It'd be easy to hold iniquity there. Heard one preacher say that he and his wife, and you heard him too if you were here, because he said it here, that he and his wife have never had an argument. I'm like, how in the world? How? Somebody has to say okay to everything.
And I don't know anybody that does that. I mean, I really don't. You really, in your heart, you have a preference if you want to admit it or not. I do. So how a person, how that could be, I don't know. But you think about things there, it'd be very easy in your marriage life to hold iniquity. And that's, iniquity's iniquity. It doesn't matter where it comes from, but it's there. Now, you have, if you're not retired, if you're in the workforce, you still have the work situations going on there. And I would say a great deal of what people talk about on a daily basis is their work day. Let me tell you what happened at work today. Now, sometimes it's good. Sometimes there's some updates to give. But, you know, a lot of times it's kind of negative things. And usually it's from people and dealing with other people. And this, you'll never guess what this one said, that one said. And then guess what? There's a little iniquity. That stuff, it really, really adds up. You have home iniquity. You have work iniquity. Got a couple or a few in school. I know they're not in here with us necessarily, but there's school iniquity, trying to deal with that teacher, all this going on. And how do you reconcile that? It has to be dealt with. If we don't deal with iniquity first, then anything else in our prayer life is pretty much gone. You know how serious that is? All day. Brother Raymond, all day I was thinking about that. I was like, my goodness, how much time have I wasted thinking I was praying when really I was just talking to myself trying to figure out what I should do because iniquity's in my heart. The hardest thing sometimes maybe to do is forgive somebody that is not going to ask you for forgiveness. And here's the thing. There's somebody out there probably thinking the same thing about you and I. Thought about today. Thought about, you know, maybe being hurt, getting hurt. And, you know, I got to praying about that today. I'm like, Lord, have I hurt somebody like that? That they're waiting on me to come to them. It's a lot when you start looking at how, if you're really going to be guided by the Holy Spirit, there's a lot that you have to give up. There's some things you have to get out of the way. Number one, again, our iniquity. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So therefore, our prayer time is not really prayer time. In 1 John 3:21, I found this verse and I thought this is very helpful. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now that's a powerful verse. Now I'm not saying that I fully understand it, but I've tried to meditate on it and pray about that. But if our heart condemn us not, when you go to pray, and if you're really trying to make things right, the Lord has a way, the Holy Spirit has a way, if you're saved, of pointing these things out. Saying, now this right here, this is iniquity. You have to deal with this. This has to be fixed. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He's a reconciler. He's not one. I know sometimes people want to say he's a divider, the God's a divider, and all this kind of stuff, and wanting to push people away. That's not the case. He wants to reconcile people, but we have to meet him on his terms. And most often, he's never had to apologize to me. Let's put it that way. Most often, it's when we have to find in ourselves what needs to be corrected. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If you can get in your heart, be willing to trust the Lord enough with everything in your heart, then you can start getting somewhere. You get to the place you're not going to regard, you're not going to hold iniquity, you're going to say, Lord, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's make this right. Because I know that I need you in my life. I know that I need to be guided by you. And Lord, I want that fellowship. Let's get this right. Here's the thing. The Lord will point those things out. The Holy Spirit will absolutely point those things out. He knows when we're being serious when we pray. Not just about the petition that we need or maybe want, but when we get to the place in our lives that we're ready to make things right with brothers and sisters or with God, whatever that might be, husband, wife, when we get ready to make that thing right, God will hear. And God will help. He will guide us. Again, if you have a clear conscience before God, you know how sweet of a prayer time that is? That's good. You think about friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, husband, wife, and things. And maybe, you know, I'm not talking about anything major or anything like that, but there's something there that you don't want your significant other to know about, then you're probably more reserved when you talk to them because you don't want it to slip. You don't want it to come out. So you be a little bit more reserved, and so when you are reserved like that, you're not giving your whole attention to your spouse, are you? You're regarding what you don't want to slip out. Here's the thing. When you start talking about having a serious prayer life and you're being really serious about being guided by the Holy Spirit, you've got to trust Him with those things that you don't want to talk about. So I'm ashamed of it. I'm embarrassed of it. And I how do I deal with this? You take it to Him and you say, Lord, let's talk about me first. Let's deal with me first. Whatever the situations and other things might be, we'll get to our petitions a little later on tonight, but if we want to be a prayer warrior, we have to deal with self first. There's no other way around that. We don't take care of self first, we're not any use or any help to anybody else in the way of prayer life. Now, here's the thing. We can do a lot of works that maybe makes us feel better about some things, but that's not being right with God in the heart. We can give and do things and stuff like that, but I tell you what we need more than anything is prayer. Prayer in our lives, prayer in our church, prayer to help each other. Learning to trust the Lord with everything. Not just the things you want to talk about. Not just the things you feel comfortable in talking about and confessing, but everything. If we are not honest, being honest with ourselves, we are not being honest with God. He knows. We might buy into what we're saying and say it long enough that we believe it, but guess what? God will never, He'll never believe it. With God, truth is truth. That's it. Not mine, not yours, not somebody else's. God knows what the truth is. So we see here the importance of this. To have fellowship with the Spirit, we have to talk to Him and be honest with Him. We have to say, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, let's make that right. Because I want to be a help to somebody else. I want to be a help to myself, to help to my family. But Lord, I want to be a help to somebody else. Now I like this in number two. The second thing, our infirmities. It says here, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Infirmities. You know what infirmities are? You get sick, you go to the infirmity. That means you're unsound. That means you're unhealthy. Unhealthy state of body or weakness. A lot of times we don't want to admit that we're weak. And I'll be honest, as a preacher, as a pastor, I don't want anybody to think I'm weak. But the reality of it is, I mess up just like anybody else. And you know that. I'm not telling you what you don't know. I'm talking about the perception of things. Nobody wants to seem weak. Nobody wants to seem susceptible to anything or things like that. But the reality of it is, every single one of us are. Beautiful thing about that is God knows that. He knows that we're not perfect, but he absolutely appreciates our obedience. When that decision is laid out before us, he sees it, he knows it, and if we choose wrong, like a father, he will chastise us for that. He chastises his own, but if we do it right, guess what? There's a reward for it. Not that we do things just to get rewards, but I'd rather have a reward. Had a friend one time tell me, her dad or her grandpa driving her down the road. She's acting up in the back seat of the car. He, you know, how they used to do. You know how he used to whip behind and trying to drive and whip and all that. And finally, he asked her, said, what do you want a whip or do you want a hamburger? Something like that, I think, is what she said. She said, hamburger? Maybe I said that one time, too. I don't know. Hamburger's better than a whip. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. A lot of heads are shaking on that one. Amen. I am thankful that God has a reward system. He rewards obedience. He doesn't just say, do these things, and if you do wrong, I'm going to chastise you, and if you do right, well, they're great for you. There's a reward system. I think one of the best rewards that I know of is just having a clear heart before God. Just laid out before Him, a clear heart, one that He knows. He knows our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15, you think about Jesus. He's our high priest. He's a prophet. He's our king. But you look at this right here. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are,
yet without sin. That's what makes him different. We have a special God, the one and only true God, by the way, but a special God, a special Savior, in that he knows how weak we are, but yet he didn't just leave it there. He said, you know what, I will be in that body too, so it can never be said that I don't know how you feel. See, God knows. You think about the hard things in life. I thought about this today. I'm like, wow. You look at the comparison. You think about it like this. God knows what it's like to lose a son. That's a fear. That's something, things that you think about. I was talking to Brandy today about catastrophes, and you hear about car wrecks all the time. Social media is full of it, you know, and the news and everything, all the bad things, the catastrophic things that happen. And if you really lend to that a whole lot, then you'll be just probably on nerve all the time, on just nervous all the time. But see, God knows what that's like. You think about it like this. Jesus on the cross, he knows what it's like to face death. Oh man, you know, isn't that something? When you look at it from that perspective, we know that. We know what he did on the cross. But you think about it, it was not an instant death. It was a long, hard death, the hardest death that could ever be had, because it carried all of our sin. Not just somebody dying and passing away. It carried the sin of the entire world. Jesus spent time on the cross before he died, and the events leading up to that. But you know, he knew it was coming. He knew it was coming before. But you think about as it come down. And he said, it's finished. There's a time in our life we will do the same thing in saying it's finished. Unless the Lord comes back. He knows our weakness. He knows how weak that we are. And he understands us. But he goes on to say this here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So he helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Again, he knows how to help us if we're willing to let him. That takes us being willing to admit our weaknesses, take our weaknesses to him, and say, Lord, help me with this. I need help. I want your help. I want to do this right. I know there's things I can't do. I know that when people come and ask for prayer requests, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. Do I pray for healing? How long do you pray for healing? We can pray for healing forever, but you know what? We're not going to live forever. Pray for grace. Pray for mercy. When I think about things like that, and I look at it on the inward side, not looking on the outward side, I think, you know, the only consolation that I would really have is knowing that I am as close to God as I absolutely can be. That he's speaking with me, he's communing with me, there's not iniquity that's causing separation between he and I, but we can actually have communion together. That's what it's supposed to be. That's not a surface relationship. Here's the thing. I think when you start having a relationship with God like that and you pray and the Holy Spirit tells you, Jason, this one's going to be a no. But I love you anyway. This is going to be a no. I think he can give you grace for that. He can help you out with that. He can help us out with that. Again, now look at this last thing, and I'll hurry on. He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think about how precious he is. You can take it to Jesus, and he can take it to the Father. Father, creator of all heaven and earth, knows everything, knows every nook and cranny of this place, what's under the earth, what's over it. There's not a spot that he has not seen. And if there's something, that somebody that you want to go to that can help you, it's that person. But I don't know what to say to him. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Intercession. That's the Spirit itself maketh intercession. You look at it here, a couple of definitions. I hurry along to pass between. So you have God, you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit right there in the middle. You have situations in your life. You've got you, you've got that problem, and then you got the resolution. You see, God serves that purpose. It also means, intercession means to mediate, to interpose, to act between two parties, or act between parties with a view to reconcile those who differ or contend. He's a unifier.
He's a unifier. Lord laid this on my heart, I guess, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I was just laying there thinking about what can I say about intercession based off the definition of what intercession is. Not spent a whole lot of time in court, but quite a bit years ago, and hearing a lot of things, hearing testimony, all those kind of things. And I remember as an investigator, I had some cases that were important to me because I put a lot of work into it. I knew the person was guilty. I knew the victim really needed justice, if you will, and wanted those things to be done right. And so I remember talking to the DA several times about cases going before it goes to trial, making sure we have our notes right. And when you get ready to testify, that's one of the hardest things I've ever done. You're right there in front of everybody. You don't want to misspeak. You want to give the person a fair trial. It's not about winning. It's about this is what happened and being able to prove what happened. And so I was looking at it that way, and I remember the DA sometimes saying, I hear what you're saying, Jason, but the judge, I know this judge. And this judge is not going to see it the way that you and I see it. Not saying that you're wrong, you're absolutely right. I mean, here's the elements. This is what the elements of the law say. But this judge will say, based off of case law, he's going to throw it out because of this. And I've seen it happen. That's disheartening. It's not that he was right and I was wrong. That was his perspective. That's his point of view. There ain't nothing I can do about it. Not a thing I can do about it. So you got the DA. Sometimes these cases would get dismissed before they'd even go to trial. We didn't even get there. But now when you start talking about this here, this intercession, think about how special this is. You know who our intercession is? It's Jesus Christ. There's one man between man and God, Jesus Christ. He's the advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. Who do you think you are going to face, lost or saved? Who do you think you're going to face at the judgment seat of Christ, or the white throne judgment? Who do you think you're going to face? Did you know if you're saved, your intercessor is your judge? Now, when I look back on the DA, him saying, I know the judge and I know how he's going to respond. Now, how well do you want to know your judge in this situation? How much more important is it to know your judge now? And here's the thing. We can. We should. The very one that went to the cross and died for us, is the one who is our intercessor, is going to be the one that's going to be judging us one day. That's who we're going to be facing. Don't you want to get as close to him as you can now? If there's one court trial, I'll tell you this. Many people here have probably not been in court, don't want to be in court. You don't. But every single one of us are going to be judged. We're going to have our day in court. And that's with an intercessor or without. And I tell you, I want to be as close to my intercessor as I can absolutely be. You know what happens in court? I told you, we watch a lot of crime TV. I'm thankful to be out of law enforcement, thankful for the time that I had in it, thankful for those who still serve. We absolutely need it. That person gets arrested, they go to jail, the first thing they want to do, usually if it's not called mama, that's usually one of the first ones. I want my call. I need to call my attorney. The first thing they start doing is getting a plan together to see how we're going to get through this mess. And that attorney, usually the way it happens is like this. I want to know what happened. Tell me the truth. Tell me what happened. Because here's the thing. As you get confronted with things in the case, as things come up, the attorney does not want to be surprised. He wants to have an answer. He wants to have an answer and say, yeah, I knew that was coming because he told me. He told me about this. Cover. I've got a response for that. I'm going to close with this. Lord just gave this to me. You think about iniquity. You think about unconfessed sin in your life. That is not the place that you want that to come out. You want it to come out now. I tell you, we would rather face things here, face things right now, get that thing right now, than face it at the white throne judgment, face it at the judgment seat of Christ if we're saved. Now's the time to do it. There is no reason outside of not being willing to give it to God, pride, whatever that might be. There is no reason to hold on to that thing because it does nothing but hold us back. Iniquity is a dangerous thing.
But I'm going to stop right there. Again, iniquity, let me go back and I'll read iniquity, infirmity, intercession. I'm so thankful for what we have in God's Word. I'm thankful for what we have throughout eternity. I just tell you, I know He wants to be as close to us as we can absolutely be with Him. It's that important. But I'm going to stop there tonight. And there is much to be in prayer for.